stop.
How's it going, everybody? Lex and Stacy, threesome podcast number 54?
Yes, it is, Lex.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you, Lex.
I know you like it when I get it right.
I did. Not right now. Not so much.
Yeah, I gotcha. Fair enough. Well, anyway, let's move on. We got an hour to spend together. Let's not start it off shitty, shall we?
It's not shitty.
Yeah.
I just kind of shot my proverbial perky wad the first two times, and now it's just like, whatever.
Well, sorry. That's such a strain for you.
It is. I think I pulled something.
Yeah. You need to pull something. Maybe you need that new drug that's out.
Yes. It sounds very intriguing. Don't you think?
Yeah, man. For you girls to get horny? Sure. I can't believe they're missing the boat on this. They should call it Niagara.
Nice.
Thank you. See what I did there?
I did. And the logo should be a rain slicker.
Because I've heard you guys get, like, wet and stuff. I don't do it to you, but I hear other guys do. So
it's true.
So congratulations.
It's not a fabled thing. It does happen on occasion.
Yeah, it does. It's even I can work somebody up every once in a while.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I am very happy for you and for Lisa.
Oh, it's not Lisa. She never gets wet with me.
She never has a second cup of coffee.
Once they know me, they never get wet. They think I'm all that beforehand, and then they find out.
The sheer and utter disappointment. They never get over it.
No. I can tell I'm not what I once was to her.
I think that just happens, though. And I don't think it's necessarily that. It's just what happens when you spend a lot of time with someone.
But it sucks. We were such whores.
Well?
Just filthy talking whores. Well, I was, anyway.
Can you imagine, and this really isn't honestly a poke at your age or anything, but could you imagine if you two had met each other when you both were like in your late teens, early 20s, and take maturity out of it, but just the sexual god and goddesses that we all were at that age.
Yeah.
And meeting, like, you know, the person that you really, really, really are supposed to be with.
Yeah,
only
few people get to do that.
I know. It sucks.
You know, and it's like you don't have the maturity to wait for it. You just don't.
I know.
And then some people meet that person two or three times and don't have the maturity to marry them.
Right.
You know, until they go off and get married with somebody else, and then they're like, I changed my mind. Yeah, well, it's too late, fucker.
Very true.
I can't tell you the amount of girls that have told me, you know, that I was in relationships with and wanted it to go deeper, that have come back and said, I should have taken you up on it.
Aw.
And I went, well, whatever guy that was you thought I was, I'm not anymore, so don't beat yourself up.
It's like you're living a Nicholas Sparks novel.
I don't know who that is.
The guy who wrote The Notebook.
Well, I still don't know who that is.
You know The Notebook.
I know the movie. I didn't see it.
Oh, you should.
No.
You should watch it with Lisa and then be a whore. It's not a sexy movie, but it's a sweet movie, and it will make her really appreciate you.
Bullshit. Yeah, I mean, it's I'm pretty sure she appreciates me. It's just I'm not that dashing man ho she meant anymore. She's gotten to see the bad cards too.
That is one of the unfortunate side effects of spending time with someone.
Yeah.
Eventually they see it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
I see
I see some stuff too, you know.
Tell us. Like what?
No. How fucking stupid do you think I am? That's the most. That's the most insulting fucking thing you've ever said to me. And yeah, and that's saying a lot. Yeah. If you think I'm that stupid to divulge anything like that about any relationship ever.
It was worth a try.
I wrote that book. You shut the fuck up. I'm the one that gets people to talk about their shit while I don't have to, not you.
Oh, okay.
Now, gotcha. You're welcome to join me now that you're my podcast partner to do this to others, but don't you ever fucking try it on me.
Hey, I have your back 98% of the time.
That's 2% short of what I need.
Well, if
so
you
get
look
better
at other avenues and areas of your life, I think that's a pretty good percentage.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
All right.
So, are you at a point in your life where you need to take this stuff?
No. Everything is still A-okay in that regard.
Yeah.
Now, let me just... Basically, what we're talking about, a story came out today that an FDA advisory committee voted to recommend approval of flibanserin, however you pronounce it, which would become the first drug to treat low libido in women. Actually, in anyone for that matter, because Viagra treats erectile dysfunction, not libido. There is a big difference there.
Yeah. And Viagra basically became Viagra as a blood pressure test.
Right. But it gives you boys woodies. It's up to you as to whether or not you want to use them. Of course, if you take a Viagra, it's probably because you would like to have a woody to use it.
Yes.
This drug is to help women who just haven't been feeling it, feel it.
Yeah, this is like a mind drug or some sort of chemical type thing for the brain, right?
Right. It says it's meant to be taken daily and over time influences levels of dopamine and serotonin in the brain. So yes, it's a brain thing.
Yeah.
The only issue there are some, I guess, substantial side effects.
Vaginal warts. Gotta take the bad with the good.
Your uterus just falls out. It, inside out kind of thing.
Your uterus is 10,000 degrees and the man's penis burns to death.
Some of the side effects, low blood pressure, fainting, nausea, and dizziness. And, you know, the typical stuff, I guess, unless it's like really bad nausea. And while you're finally getting fucked for the first time in 10 years, you're just projectile vomiting all over him. I don't know. But it's supposed to be this thing.
Yeah. Well, good on you, girls. Good luck with all that. I hope it performs for you and your dude.
Well, there's been some bumpy roads with this, getting it even to this point. They're kind of going back and forth. You know, some doctors are saying, oh, my God, all these side effects, which come on, if you watch TV and any kind of drug comes on, there's one drug for like Alzheimer's or something where the list is like 3/4 of the commercial.
Yeah.
And it's like diarrhea. I mean, it's like I would want to just forget, I think, instead of having all of this stuff happen.
Yeah, you know,
so that I could have my mind.
You know what I hear on those commercials? That
lawyers.
No, what I hear, well, besides lawyers, I hear, just let us give you some other ailment to worry about so you don't worry about this one and you think it works.
Right.
We're going to make you feel shitty in 5 different ways and you're going to forget all about that. You're going to forget anyway. You have Alzheimer's. But you're going to realize after a while, you know, all we made you do is take your eye off the ball because you're just shitting yourself all the time.
I can't think of what drug it is, but there's one in particular where it was like, wow, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff.
It's the Crohn's one. It's the...
Okay.
Oh, I got to forget the name of it. All I can think of is
but it's long enough
like,
and horrible enough that it makes me go, I'm never taking that drug. And I know none of the other things with side effects ever made me think that. But this one's like, I don't think this one's worth it.
No. And, you know, your doctor will clear a lot of that stuff up, you know, and say, hey, they got to say this stuff. Here's what it really does. Out of all those side effects, here's the one or two that you're going to notice.
You will be pooping.
Yeah.
We can't stop that one.
But I think it's the Crohn's disease one. Because I remember going, oh my God, what? It's like, man.
And some of them were like, you know, there's a potential for you to bleed out of your rectum. Yeah. You know, it was like some pretty horrific
sounding
things.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah. It's like, all I can think of is like Nivea or something like that. But it's something wrong. It's something along there.
Right.
It says, okay, now I got to look it up because I'm pretty sure we're on the same page here.
Yes. But this drug, as I said, I just listed those, the low blood pressure, fainting, nausea, and dizziness. And some doctors are saying, you know, oh, these side effects are too terrible. And so people are saying, okay, is the reason why people are dragging their feet on this, is it, once again, like a sexist thing? That, you know, the idea of women finally getting something that helps them with sex isn't as important as, you know, finally tuning the boner drugs that we see all over the place.
Humira.
You know, that sounds like it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the drug.
Do you have the list? Is there a list you can...
Hold on, let me get my history here.
Sorry.
Okay, let's see. Unintended weight loss. You know, of course, you're shitting yourself. So
okay, well, first of all, what is the drug for?
Crohn's disease.
Okay.
All right, let me find it here. There's a... Let's see. Your current treatment on a moderate severe symptoms. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to find the. I can hear there's additional safety. Yeah, here we go. Serious infections have happened in people taking Humira. These serious infections include tuberculosis, infections caused by viruses, fungi, bacteria that have spread through the body. Some people have died from these infections. Humira may increase the chance of getting symptoms, including a rare kind of cancer. Humira can cause serious side effects, including hepatitis B in carriers of the virus. Allergic reactions, nervous system problems, blood problems, heart failure, certain immune reactions, including a lupus-like syndrome, liver problems, and new worsening psoriasis. Nothing makes you forget your Crohn's disease like cancer and hepatitis B and...
Cirrhosis. Sign me up,
yeah,
doc.
It's like, not, you know what, Doc? I think I'll just watch my diet. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, you have to wonder, at what point is it worth it? And how bad does your Crohn's have to be for you to consider that drug
it would
over everything else?
It would have to feel like a knife turning in my stomach at all times for me to take something like that.
Right.
When your doctor's sitting down, okay, here's this will relieve your symptoms. However,
we need to talk.
Oh, by the way, do you have a few minutes? Two things. I'm going to need to charge you extra because you do have a few more minutes, and I have a little list to go over. And this works for me both ways because you're going to get something else wrong with you and be in here all the time.
Yes. So I can bill your insurance company twice.
That's right. So, we as patients are pretty much at the mercy.
Yes.
And it doesn't hurt to, when they want to put you on something, do exactly what I just did and go on and see what this shit's all about.
Talk to your pharmacist, too. Mm-hmm. Really, your pharmacist has no dog in this fight with your health other than just telling you exactly what the drugs do.
But beware of this. This commercial I see on TV almost more than any of them. And the list we just read you, I think, is the reason why. Don't forget, they spend multi-millions of dollars getting that drug to the point it is on TV.
They need their money back.
They need their money back. And they're going to cover their ass doing it.
Yes.
So, there you have it.
You didn't have lupus before? Well, we've got a lupus drug here, too.
Yeah. We're going to give you a lupus drug. The side effect is it causes Crohn's disease. I mean, that didn't even make you laugh because it's so, the irony is so fucking twisted and true. And we're both like, yeah, that probably would happen.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Everyone is out for themselves, at least from a business corporate standpoint. Whether it's the insurance companies, the drug companies, you know, it's just, they want your money, but they really give a shit what happens to you.
No, they give a shit what happens to them.
Yes.
Guaranteed. Trust us on that one. Insanity.
All you are is an annoyance, especially if you pitch a fit about something.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to go away.
Yep. And they don't mind taking a $1 million commercial and making sure half of it's taken up with covering their ass while you're watching the two old people do it. In their separate bathtubs. I've never
on the mountainside.
I've never understood that commercial. It's like,
I know,
you're taking a fucking drug to fuck, and you're in separate bathtubs.
How did the bathtubs get on the mountainside with the lovely thicket of leaves around you? Yeah. Are there not mosquitoes there?
Yeah. Well, never mind that. The idea of the whole commercial is for one fucking bathtub to be there.
Yes.
How about a bigger bathtub and we can see just your heads rolling around in there like you're doing it?
And mosquito netting there.
Yeah. They're at the top of the Alps. There's no fucking mosquitoes up there. You know what's up there? Ice.
Yeti.
It's so fucking cold up there. You're not taking your wiener anywhere near the outdoors.
You need a nice warm place to park it and just let it sit for a while.
I'll be straight up. Mine does not work up there. As soon as it hits 20 degrees and below, I'm fucked.
Do we want to know how you know that?
No, I just know.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's the same thing as like a cold swimming pool. You know, it's like you don't feel like fucking when you get out of one of those. Because you're spending 3 minutes just getting it to come back out. You get out of the pool looking like Bruce Jenner when it's that cold.
You mean Caitlyn?
A little between the two, you know. You're not completely inverted, but you're like, Jesus, come on up, bro.
Yeah. Oh, look, she has a huge clit.
It's crazy. But it's true. You know, it's like, you know, throw us, you know, a bone here. Viagra commercial.
Yes.
Besides the one you're trying to throw. Because nobody's buying that shit. We all make fun of your stupid fucking bathtubs. Or whoever that
the
is.
The other one that got me, and again, I don't know if it's Viagra or Cialis, but it was the one where the rugged cowboy has his big truck and it gets stuck or something, and he attaches his Mustangs to it because he's got, I don't know, it was just like all this dust and horses and power, and it was like, oh, God. And they never, I don't think, even showed a woman in the commercial. Yeah. It was all about male power.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you're obviously making up for something, dude. Because otherwise, you're just a cowboy with a shitty truck and a big dick.
And some horses.
Yeah.
And no women in sight.
Not a one. Nowhere to be found. Jesus. So, anyway, good luck, ladies. Hopefully that's something that'll work for you. I'd caution to talk to your physician and pharmacist, like Stacy said, before you get down that road, because it just may be you hate your husband. Maybe that
yes,
simple.
Yes, they said this is like kind of in lieu of making sure there's nothing else wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like there is an illness or sickness or something. Or troubles in the relationship. If you just are, honestly, it kind of sounds like almost an antidepressant.
If you still want to fuck your yoga instructor, ladies, then life's good. You just need a new dude, not a pill.
Yes. It's not that you don't want to fuck anyone. You just don't want to fuck your husband. You're okay then.
Yeah. You're normal.
From a physical standpoint.
You're normal as hell. I'll never forget this one lady friend of mine. You know, we hung out with her and her husband a lot. And I remember it was like Saturday evening, you know, the beer was flowing. We were going to hang out most of the night and all that stuff, you know, three or four couples. And she looks over at me and she goes, look at him over there. What beer is that? Number five, number six. She goes, I'll certainly pay for that tonight. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, like, is he going to throw up and stuff? Or, you know?
And she just pats you on the head.
And she smiled at me. I went, oh. I said, that's a chore, is it? And she goes, oh, the most dastardly of chores. She goes, I don't even like him these days when he's sober. I went, well, some people are better drunk. Is he? She's like, nope. I said, well, you don't have to. She goes, I'm a housewife. I pretty much know what my chores are, and he's one of them.
Aw. See, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you know after how many drinks you're not going to be able to come. Sure, you can get a Woody and it can last for 4 hours, but if you're not going to be able to
I never had that problem.
But you know that. There are guys who know that when they get drunk, it's never going to happen for them. Don't put your wife through that or your girlfriend, whoever. Honestly, after about 45 minutes of just that going and going and nothing else happening, we don't like you anymore.
Fucking should not last more than 15 minutes. The actual fucking.
Yes.
Because two things, and y'all just follow with me on this. If you're both so fucking hot and into it, both of you should be coming pretty fast.
Yeah.
The guy should be probably abstaining as best as he can from coming, and the girl will probably get worked up pretty fast and hot and accommodate and reward you dudes by doing it herself so you can too. When you're that hot for each other and you're that turned on, that happens fast. Yes. In talking to all the girls I've been with, they all say something pretty similar, and that is, we only come when we want to. Every girl I've been with in a serious relationship, which is about four or five chicks, they've all said the same thing. I know I'm going to come before we even start.
Right. It's for women much more of a mental thing than it is guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we're in that frame of mind, you're pretty much golden unless you do something horrific.
So if Lisa has a dumb smile on her face she gets when she wants some, it's so cute. I'm like, okay, this is going to be easy tonight. But here's what I love about her. She will give it to me just about whenever I want it. And she will kind of let me know her level of interest. You know, right. She will give me the look like, yeah, this could possibly work for me. You know, so I'll do things to stimulate her. If she's looking at me like, go ahead, buddy. You know, I'm taking care of you. I just do my thing and
move
and,
along.
And look at her and go, thanks. And she's like, yeah, sure. Thank you for not taking too long. You're welcome. God,
that's the other thing. Yes, when women are giving, you know, just exactly that situation you're talking about, guys, that is not the time for you to decide. I just read some new technique on how to prolong things. That's not the time to do it.
So now
just
we're
get your stuff done and go.
So now we're to the point where we just have that discussion before we even get going. Unless I see the dumb smile, then I don't have to talk to her. I know I love the dumb smile. It's so patronizing.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's and like, I've never seen it.
Yeah. It's you've probably used it yourself. It's all girls have it. But hers is so damn cute because Lisa's not shy about telling you anything she wants, whether it's that or, you know, a restaurant she wants to go to. It's transparent as hell. God, it's cute.
Easy, Tiger.
Yeah.
We've still got like 45 minutes of this.
Better known to guys is we got 10 minutes left. But she is she's cool like that. You know, it's like I don't have to play those silly reindeer games of acting like it's going to be a romantic interlude for both of us, you know, into you know, like you said before, the Notebook.
Yes.
No, it's like she's like, "Go ahead, baby."
Do you ever just make out knowing that there's just going to be no sex and you're not even going to try for the sex? You're just going to kiss her for 20 minutes?
No, neither she nor I are huge kissers.
Gotcha.
You know, it's not our thing. Fucking is both of our things.
Well, good.
You know,
it's good to have shared interests.
Yeah, and we talk during it, and we can't do that if we're making out. I can't do kidnap guy if I'm kissing her.
Well, there is a time and place.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's like, your husband's going to give me $1 million and I'm fucking you right now. Little fucking housewife whore. Bet you wish your family could see you now. She laughs. She's like, oh God. I'm like, was that too much? Yeah, a little.
See, if you were going over the top, I think my mom would like. Let's imagine my mom here right now, Lex. She's watching.
Yeah, you're Mrs. Smith, you bitch.
She's judging you right now, Lex. Look at her. Yeah. Can you see maybe the disdain?
Maybe you better wait to judge the picture I paint on your daughter's back.
She'll be judging that too. She'll critique it.
Yeah.
Passive aggressively, I'm sure.
Be patient. You're going to be watching your grandchildren in a few minutes.
All of them dying.
The death of thousands of your grandkids. All being killed by your daughter's back. Oh, God. Sex is so fucking sick.
It is. You have to have a sense of humor to have good sex. Yeah.
Lisa, in the early days, she goes, what kind of TV do you watch, baby? I said, shut up, the good kind.
HBO.
I took the B out of HBO. That was the good day. The early part of a relationship is so fucking good. It's so bad. It's too bad it can't stay like that.
Yeah. But see, people don't want to have to work for anything. And when you are filled, especially if you're lucky to be a younger couple, you know, you've got the hormones and, you know, yeah, everything is fine as long as you can fuck after a fight and fuck after a night out and
yeah,
fuck before work in the morning and, you know, fuck after dinner. Nothing else matters. And then you got to get your job. And then you got to, you know, go to work, and pay bills.
Life happens, yeah.
A parent dies, you know.
Yeah.
Just like.
And between 30 and 50 years old, shit just happens constantly. Parents dying, you know, the kids graduating. I mean, it's just pow, 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 pow.
Right.
Job
so
changes.
So enjoy sex while you can, folks, because yeah, it all goes away. And it just doesn't really matter anymore because life sucks.
But it's like, I remember early in the relationship, you know, because she lived in a different state. So we like meet at a hotel and oh God, the fucking hotel sex. Oh my God. Oh my God. So much fun. Just so much fun. I don't mean to bum people out, you know. I know the medial age of this podcast are people that are at the very least venturing into that part of their lives where the sex isn't as big as it used to be. You know, because that starts like 35.
For men.
Yeah.
35 is when women are finally comfortable with their bodies, even from a I don't give a fuck standpoint.
Yeah.
And they know how to work it. They've had years now, at least a decade, you hope, of like figuring out what their moves are, what their talents are, and what they like.
And it's so cruel for men because it's the same thing, except ours starts going away quicker than yours.
Right.
Although I'll make a case, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, that between 35 and 55 were my best sex years.
Now, do you think, though, it's because of the maturity? And even though we don't like to admit it, it was more of a mental thing?
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to physical?
I'll be honest with you. I've always been the sexual aggressor because I just thought that was the man thing to do. But behind, you know, early in life, it's like, you know, I have a lot of insecurities about my body and about how good I am in bed and all that stuff. You know, when
I think everybody does, though.
You know, but when I got like my mid-30s, something happened where I didn't give a fuck. I was just like, you're getting fucked. You shut the fuck up. You know.
It's the same thing, yeah. You just get comfortable. You finally get comfortable with who you are.
And that's, I think that's what it is, you know, because it's like, you know, and you find out more, as it goes, you know, that, you know, it's not, you know, you're not going to lose your chick over it. Like you used to think you would, you know, when everybody right. was just full of testosterone. It's like, you better fuck her. I'll fuck her better than you. And, you know.
And you realize that that's all like just male generated.
Yeah, it's all male
generated. You know what I mean? That's like you guys are planting the insecurity in each other. And we're all just kind of sitting there going, hello. Just pay attention to me instead of swinging your dicks at each other.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, my wife at the time, when being a Southern girl, I always thought she just liked, you know, country rodeo type guys with, you know, big giant cocks and stuff like that, you know, roughhousing type of guys. And then, you know, I find out later on in the marriage, she goes, nothing about your body or face is what makes me horny. And of course I said, well, what is it? And she goes, your sense of humor, your confidence, the how sure of yourself you are, the all that. And she goes, it's never been a looks thing with you. She goes, and not really with any guy I've been with.
Can I say, I heard a quote a long time ago and it has always stuck with me, and I am not a quote person, but it totally goes with what you're saying right there. The quote was, men, let me make sure I get this right. Men learn to love the women they're attracted to. Women learn to be attracted to the men they love.
Yeah.
She loved you. I mean, you know, she totally dug who you were, and she learned to deal with the rest of you.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever, you know? Whatever about me was, you know, causing orgasms, fine. I don't care.
It was the tuft of hair just below your belly button. It was hitting all the right spots.
Yeah, who the fuck knows, you know? I've been with girls who were, most guys would go, she's a 5. I didn't think she was
out
a
of
5.
What, 10?
Yeah, I didn't think she was a 5. You know, if she was funny and had a sense of humor and, you know, decent body, decent face, nothing extraordinary. God, I used to love girls like that. That, I'll give you a perfect example of a chick who's not that great looking, but I had it for her bad. Do you remember an actress that was in Raiders, Karen Allen?
Yeah. Marion.
Yeah.
Was her name in the movie.
Yeah.
I could see that.
That's the type of chick the Lex man goes for. Yeah, that's
just walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah, just
and hang.
Yeah, just hang that, just somebody you. That can fucking hang. That's it. You know, where they just totally are fucking real. That's does it for me. I don't have to have a super beautiful fucking chick all the time. I've had probably, I bet, a half dozen girls in my life where my friends were like, dude, you could do better.
See, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
You know, stop judging and making your friends feel bad about who or what they're with.
And I'd always say, no, I can't. Otherwise, I'd be doing better, wouldn't I?
Oh. Nice.
Yeah. But there is a sliding scale of how chicks act compared to how hot they are. It's just true. You have to, you know, between that, just on a rating system, so you know where I'm coming from, the where back in your teenage years, you know, you wanted that 9.5 and 10, and you didn't really give a fuck what she was like. You just wanted to be seen with that chick. You wanted to hang with that chick. You wanted to.
It was a status thing. It was all that.
Yeah. And then you just hope for the best. Where now I don't have the patience for a piece of shit person. I don't give a fuck how good she looks. If I get the sense that you suck as a person, I'm out. I don't have time for it.
I can tell you, I have never in my life, I need to word this carefully, I've never in my life met a really, really good looking guy that I have thought was interesting or funny.
Yeah, I've met a few really hot chicks that are fun. I worked with this chick about 10 or 15 years ago. We're still good friends, and I was married, of course, so nothing happened there, but I was amazingly attracted to her. You know, and she was stunningly beautiful, but, you know, acted like an ugly chick. Well, I found
she actually put time into her personality.
Well, I found out in her younger years she was big. You know, she lost weight when she became an adult.
Right.
You know, so that's why she was that way. And I've always looked at her and thought to myself, I wonder what she would have turned out like had she looked like that all the way through.
Right. You make a very good point.
And I can't even look at her without thinking it. Me and a couple of guys I used to work with in Jacksonville, you know, we all met in Atlanta and hung out, and that's all I could think about when I looked at her.
The TV show 30 Rock had an episode that kind of dealt with that because Liz Lemon was dating John Hamm.
Yeah.
And he was a doctor, and she's watching him. You know, they're walking down the street, and everyone's being really nice to him and giving him things and everything. And he thought that's how life was.
Yes.
You know, people would, like, move so he could park his car, you know, just all this stuff.
And
she's looking at him like, this is not how life is. It's because of how you look.
And when he gets gray and older, and put some pounds on. No, he's going to be an asshole because he's not going to get treated like that anymore at some point.
Yes, but he's a man, so he is going to be. I can see John Hamm, just like George Clooney, going to get better with age.
Yeah, probably.
That man's still going to be pulling poon when he's 80 if he lives that long, you know. And plus, he has a giant cock.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, but will blood fill it up when he gets older?
They'll have made Viagra even better.
God's twisted irony.
Yes. I'm getting dizzy.
Yeah. Say, all I can think of, once again, is the crew of the Starship Enterprise. Like, we need more power down here, Captain. Scotty, his penis can never sustain the amount of dilithium crystals need sent down there.
It still just astounds me that you are a Trekkie. I love that about you and how I didn't know that.
Captain, if we use all our resources to fill up his penis, the crew will perish. But is it worth it, Spock? Yes, Captain. I love Star Trek. It's fucking best show ever on TV, as far as I'm concerned.
You haven't seen Banshee yet.
I tried to order Amazon Prime. They had a 30-day thing, and it's all tied in with my Roku thing that I have, and it's it's confusing the two accounts. So I'm dealing with that right now, but I'm all over it. I want to see it. I told Lisa about it. She wants to see it. So we're probably going to be in this weekend.
Yay.
Which by the time you hear this will be last weekend. But yes. I guess I should go ahead and bring this up.
Uh-oh.
Guess who turns 18 right about the time this podcast gets released?
How do you feel about this?
You know, it sucks. Especially the last 2.5-3 years, because it's not been easy for her.
Right.
And now, you know, she's talking about going to school, getting a couple jobs, moving out. You know, adult things.
Which happens when you turn 18.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super worried about her. Everywhere she goes to buy things, somebody's trying to give her a retail job. She'll always have money to make.
Right.
But she went in to buy a dress the other day for a friend's graduation and pretty much ended up working there.
Cool.
Yeah. But by the time this airs, we will have been in Austin. She's going to Metallica.
He's such a good daddy.
Her and her boyfriend are going. So I don't know exactly what the hotel arrangements are going to be, but one of them's spending time with me in the room. I don't know which one yet. And, you know, we had the talk, of course. She goes, Dad, I'm going to be 18 in 3 days. It's like, yeah, well, that gives me 3 days to be an asshole.
And ground you for the next year.
Yeah. She's such a good kid. But the countdown's over.
The final countdown.
You know, they're still a band.
Are they really?
Yes.
Do they play county fairs?
No, they're still like huge overseas.
In Europe.
They play with like Def Leppard and shit, you know? I mean, they like
Which is my all-time favorite joke. What has seven arms and sucks?
No, the better one's what has five arms and likes to eat pussy. The Indigo Girls and the drummer from Def Leppard.
All right, yeah.
Oh, God. I told that to one of my daughter's young lesbian friends, and she says, who's the Indigo Girls? I went, hey.
Did you say pussy to one of your daughter's lesbian friends?
No.
Okay.
I just said likes girls.
Okay. Yeah. Good, Lex. Yeah.
I said, what is that five, what has five arms and likes girls? The Indigo Girls and the drummer from Def Leppard. No, of course I didn't say pussy, you idiot.
Okay, well. Man, how you do things there in Texas.
I'm really worried about your opinion of me anymore. You think I'm stupid and insensitive.
No.
Which usually you're both, let's face it. So, yeah, sad times. Sad times, but glorious times, I guess. I think she's going to be an excellent adult. I think we did a good job with her.
Good.
I really do. I think she's, you know, got the common sense and the practicality and logistics to navigate her way through life pretty well.
And that's all you can hope for.
Yes.
You know, as a parent, you will always worry about her until your last breath.
Absolutely.
That's just a given. But, absolutely. You know, at some point you have to look at your child and say, I've done everything I can. You know, I'll be here for you for the big, big stuff that go horribly wrong and good in your life. But you've got to make your own mistakes now.
Yeah, I guess that's what bothers me is I always had that thought, just let me get her to her 18th birthday. You know, come
oh,
on,
no.
come on, 18th birthday, get here, 18th birthday. And now it's, you know, I wouldn't care if it was another 2 years away, 3 years, aww. 4 years. And of course, she's welcome to stay at home as long as she likes, as long as she's just not sitting around. But if she's working and going to school and just wants to live at home, I'm cool with that. You know, but she doesn't.
You big softy. Look at you.
But she doesn't. She wants
She wants to be far away.
She wants to be She wants to be.
She wants to be gone.
She wants to be gone.
Away.
Away.
Not for, not there
from
anymore.
Me.
Yep. See you at Christmas and Thanksgiving and maybe 4th of July.
Yeah. And probably none of those if she's anything like me. That'll start.
Wait, where's Harry Chapin right now?
Oh no, I don't need.
We need some cats in the cradle.
No, we don't need cats in the cradle because I hung out with her. I did lots. I didn't, you know. But I got a great cats in the cradle story.
Oh no,
my dad was a car dealer. He left at 7 a.m. and got home at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. I mean, I spent, I would say, my whole childhood seeing him on Sunday.
Aw.
But you know what? It's not something I thought about.
It's what it was, so you didn't think anything of it.
I knew the clothes I had, the food we ate, and all that stuff was all attributed to him. So, I don't know if my mom instilled it in me or whatever, but I never had any misgivings about him doing that. And I love spending time with him. And when he had vacation and time like that, it was all about us, you know. And he was a cool dude. He's doing his best.
Right.
You know, was he kind of a carousing dude that went out with the boys and had martinis after work and stuff? Yes. But, you know, up until the time I'm 12 years old, you know, I'm going to bed 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, so what quality time would there be even if he did come home? He's not going to just come
Duggar
home.
Duggar time.
He's not going to come home, put down his keys, and go right into, let's go throw the football, you know? Let's.
In my suit. And loosen my tie up.
And I'll be honest with you. When I was playing Little League football and baseball and all that stuff, and watching how some of the dads were hands-on with their kids and coaching and up their ass when they made mistakes and shit like that, I was totally cool with him seeing nothing. I really was. You know, I loved going through my childhood without the judgmental dad or mom out there going, what's the matter with you?
You know, I can tell you, having had, you know, friends growing up and stuff, and had a lot of friends who had parents that went through divorces and stuff, I have never had a human being sit down and have an honest, true conversation telling me how much their parents' divorce messed them up, or how they missed one of their parents, or, you know, everyone made it through and no one seemed to have any issues with what life dealt them in the parent standpoint. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. But psychologists would have you think that, you know, we are just fucking kids up left and right. But
well, we're
I
not,
never noticed that we're with
not.
Anyone.
We're not. And this is the part of the story you're going to laugh your ass off at.
All right.
So I had this cousin, Diane. We had a dinner one night. Now, at this point, getting up on my 18th birthday. I'm pretty sure I was just about ready to graduate. That may have even been the reason we were there, because she lived right by the school. And so we're over at her house, and it's, you know, my sister, me, mom, dad, my cousins. There's about 12 or 13 of us here, you know, just sitting around. And she goes over to her stereo, which is what it was at the time. And she puts on Cats in the Cradle, and she looks at my dad. She goes, "I want you to listen to this song."
Oh, God.
She goes, "And realize what you just missed." And, of course, I heard that song on the radio. I knew what it meant. And I went, Dad, listen, my views don't really reflect. And I'm looking at her like, "Are you fucking kidding me? We're having a party here." And I go to take the song off. He goes, "No, leave the fucking song on. I want to hear it." So the whole room's now shitty, you know? It's like the whole thing went from great to like, oh, God. So this song to me plays all the way through and seems like Inagata DeVita. Seems like it was just on for 25, 30 minutes. I mean, it couldn't, you know, I mean, it was just like, "The Cats and the Credo and the..." And I'm like, no. So he looks over at me and he goes, "Did you put her up to this?" I went, "Fuck no." And I looked over at her and like, "Tell him." "Tell him no, I didn't." She goes, "No, Uncle Vern." She goes, I just think it was long overdue. And of course, obviously she knows something about his extracurriculars that I didn't know, you know, so she's being all high and mighty and, you know, all this stuff. And my sister and I are like, "Oh, God, this is so fucked up. He's going to so make us pay for this for so long." And we go back to the house. We're sitting around and everything. And he goes, "That song's kind of true, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, in the biblical sense, Dad, I think it is. But I got to be honest with you. Until she played that song, I didn't have any problem with you whatsoever."
And now I hate you.
And now I think I'm supposed to hate you or something. I didn't realize you were a fucking asshole until then. I just thought you were a dad who was out earning money and shit. You know, everything was cool. But no, you're the Cat in the Cradle guy now. With a silver spoon, I guess. So, yeah.
Wow.
Is that awesome or what? I love that fucking story. They're all like,
"Did he laugh?"
Huh? My mom did. I think it kind of hit home on him, you know. Obviously, aww, he was bothered, you know. So I said, "Dad, seriously, you know, I said I would change nothing, really, you know, and it's all good." It really is. And he goes, "You sure?" I said, 100% sure. He said, "But we can't play that song around here."
Just to make a point, Lex was not with his father when he died. So, see, it all came true.
No, I was not with my father, but I was with him 2 weeks before. And, bitch. Not only was I not with my dad, but I had a nose full of cocaine when I got the news.
I know. I wasn't going to mention that part.
Yeah, well.
Take that, Dad.
It's the truth. But no, I had my time with him a couple weeks earlier. So, and I was kind of stupid about it, you know, because I was leaving to go to the airport to go back home and go to work and everything. And I said, "Hey, Dad, I'll see you in a couple weeks." You know, my boss offered to fly me back, you know, and he goes, "Well, I'm not going to be here in a couple weeks." And I thought he meant the hospital. And then I said, "No, Dad, I'll see you in a couple weeks." He's like, "Okay, son."
It's like, God, he's stupid.
God, he's so fucking stupid. My fucking son is so stupid.
That's what killed him.
I'm so happy I'm dying. I don't have to talk to this fucking numbskull anymore. God, he's so fucking stupid. I'm glad I didn't throw football with him. It could have damaged him more.
I love his sister, though.
Yeah.
She's the good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was the shining star. It's hilarious. All right, so we're wrapping this up, Stacy. Enjoy the Threesome Podcast Long Edition with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on next time around for episode 55. See ya.
Bye.